Welcome to the Tune In Game In Podcast. Game In Podcast. Tuning in to the gaming world of retro and modern. Retro and modern.
Nick, and no Gaz tonight, Lothbrian, but we are joined by lovable chap that he is, Warren.
Hello, hello, and hello.
Yeah, good to have you back. So, I think today Gaz is busy with the website Ramble Media, so which is understandable. He's running a whole website, so he's got things to attend to and home life and that, but it's just got. It's just doing stuff for Ramble Media, so hopefully next week he should be back with us. And
Yeah. I talked to him actually on during the week. He was posting links and testing stuff out, because when he posts stuff, he was just testing it. Cause I like saying, you know, hey, I see this, and he says, oh, I'm just testing the links out, because he posted something and it had like the wrong image or something attached to it. So he's taking care of that stuff, and it's not easy. Trust me on that. So you know, it's good he's taking the time to do it, because I'm taking the time to do it on my own website. So my website's been, I mean, my site's up, don't get me wrong, but it's like just pure HTML and it's crappy, but you know.
Yeah, I mean, I've had a website in the works, but I never actually got around to uploading it or uploading it properly, because I did try this one site but it didn't work out, so it's something I'm going to have to look into do at some point, but.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, a bit of brief news before we carry on with the podcast. First news is the people who made the movie, the Lego movie, are also adapting a movie based on Minecraft.
Oh, those people are doing it? I did not know that.
Well, that's what was announced this week, I think, by this game on YouTube channel, I believe. So apparently it's been really successful, the Lego movie, so they're going to be working with the people who do Minecraft to create a Minecraft movie, so how well that turns out or what they can actually do with it, I'm not sure. But from what it sounds like with the Lego movie, it sounds like they've done really great stuff using just like Lego pieces throughout the whole movie.
Oh my goodness. Domestic. Lego movie did $209,325,000.
It's quite impressive.
That is very impressive. I mean, don't get me wrong, I've been waiting for a Lego movie since 2000. Well, actually, I'm sorry. I've actually been waiting since like 1990 something. But they had brought out like a Lego. I don't know if you're a big Lego fan. I used to be a big Lego fan. I'm not a big Lego fan anymore. But I still like watching people build stuff. They had a movie creator that some guy made a video way back in like 2004, 2005, and he uploaded to YouTube in 2006, 2007, and it got like quite a few views. And it was an awful movie, but you watched it because it was all animated, you know, nothing like the Lego movie, but you know, stop motion.
Yeah, I think Lego movie is in the style of stop motion, but it's actually CGI, but it's just doing that sort of style to make you think it's in that way. But this. It'll be impressive to see what they can do with Minecraft. I mean, they'll probably use its engine or modify it in some way, so.
Yeah, they're going to modify it. You should know that.
Yeah, obviously. So, I mean, what comes of it, or whether it brings more people into doing stuff on Minecraft, I mean, who knows? I mean, with all the creativity that like a movie encourages, I'm sure the Minecraft movie would do the same. So, but then again, whether it would be a good video game movie or not. Yeah, it depends, but.
Well, I don't know. I mean, being Minecraft, it's a mindless game in the first place. Do you enjoy playing it? Yeah, I enjoy playing it. I waste time in it. I mean, I consider it a good way to waste time, you know, but you're having fun, and you're using your mind, and you're being creative. You're not just in there shooting up monsters and stuff, you know. If you're playing the real world, you have to pay attention to the, you know, the cycle of the day and night. And hey, it's nighttime. Make sure you made a fortress so that things can't, the creepers can't get inside, or the zombies, you know. And you learn how to create stuff. So this game, you know, for kids that are under, I want to say 13, it's a great experience. You know, you learn to use wood to make fire. I mean, some kids, they just grab a bush and throw it on the ground. Okay, fire. No, it doesn't work like that. You know, but Minecraft is very educational in its own regards, as far as I'm concerned. You know, at first I thought it was like stupid. You know, when I first heard about it, like, who want to play a dumb game with blocks? Go get Legos. But then, you know, finally I downloaded the PC version. And next thing I know, I was sitting there playing it for like quite some time. But then I downloaded Xbox, and that's where I kind of really got addicted. And I will say I don't play it on iPad that much. But, I mean, I will say my first playing was on iPad. I sound contradicting when I say I didn't like it, but I was trying to demo out so I can say it was a junky game. And when I realized it, 30 minutes had already passed by. So obviously I had fun, you know, so I couldn't deny. And so I had to go look at the PC version and the Xbox version. So, and I was thinking about getting the PS3 version, actually. I might, if I get some money, then I'll probably get it, and I'll get my friend hooked on it, and then I'll have people play on PlayStation, you know. So, which is going to suck, because we won't be playing fighting games anymore. but no, Minecraft, it can be a movie. I can see many movies coming out of that thing. You know, Steve, I don't know, who is Steve, anyway?
I think it's Stevie, but I'm not sure, actually. I mean, maybe some sort of machinima character, or...
Okay, because if you go on YouTube, there are already Minecraft movies, and they're pretty good. They're really good, actually. I'll just look them up and give them to you, because I just looked them up, too. So, I'm like, wow, there's a whole world. I didn't know Minecraft was its own world. I mean, literally. But yeah, people made creeper movies and stuff, and they're pretty funny, too. And some of them are animated, though. So, you know, and some of them are... like, machinima, like, you know, they use the in-game engine to make the movies, but the ones that are animated are a tad better, you know, but they keep to the game itself, so, I mean, we don't know. I mean, I'm happy, I'm gonna say this, I'm happy that they're doing it, because now, you know, I don't know how, I mean, I really don't know, how, I know you're younger than me and Gaz, but see, we were there from Super Mario Brothers, and that game was awful, I mean, that movie was awful, because it didn't stick with the plot line or anything, and it gave them, like, super jump shoes, like, what? That's jump, and then Koopa looked like a man with, what's those things, cornrows? Oh, it was awful. But some people still liked it. I lost a friend over that movie. So, but now I'm excited because could you imagine a serious Metroid being made or a serious Ninja Gaiden being made? That's what I'm looking at.
I heard some time ago so there was something in the something in the works about a Metroid movie some time ago, but whether that'll still come through, I know it's...
It got canceled.
Oh, it got canceled there.
Yeah, it was a Kickstarter project. Yeah, they had Nintendo say, we're not giving you any rights. Take it down. So they had to take the whole Kickstarter thing down. The video is still up on YouTube. You can watch it. Look up the Metroid Kickstarter project. It'll pull up, and it looks awesome. But, yeah.
Yeah, so hopefully there will be a good movie, because if what I've heard about the Lego movie is true, then I'm sure they do just as good a job with the Minecraft movie when that comes out. So,
yeah.
But again, that's something else I have to wait and see. But yeah, that's one of the main pieces of news. In other news, May this year, Nintendo shutting down online capabilities for certain games on the DS and the Wii.
Yes.
To focus on the 3DS and the Wii U, which is understandable, but for those people who are addicted to playing Mario Kart Wii or maybe like the Pokemon games on the DS, then there's obviously if you want to make the most of it, it's best to do it before they cut the services for good.
Yeah, I can't use my 3DS online anyway because my DS games online unless I have a 3DS itself. But you also have to make it WEP, and my Wi-Fi won't let me do WEP, so for security purposes, so I can't use it. I love playing my what's that one game I love? Planet Puzzle League. I love that game, but I got it to work once I thought on my 3DS, but I guess it was on my DSi. But you know. But it's sad, but at the same time, it's not sad, but at the same time, it is, in a way. You think they have all the servers kind of done as one, but...
Yeah, well, I would have thought they'd be able to keep it going somehow, but... I know it's something that needs to cut eventually, but...
Yeah, I'm not even sure. I mean, back in the day, see, we had PCs and stuff, and we could, Warcraft, I would call your house, your modem. I don't know why they won't bring that back. That would cut costs so much. You know, let me be able to make my own server, and you can shut your main server down. Let me and my friends run our own servers.
Yeah,
you know,
I'm sure people will do that because I know with the Dreamcast, there are people who run their own servers for games like Phantasy Star Online. I mean, if you get a particular disc version of the Dreamcast web browser, then you can.
Yeah, I have it. I just bought it actually. December I bought it.
Yeah, so if you had one of those, you can get on the internet and play games that are no longer supported by Sega and play them online, so you get a feeling, so you get sort of feeling how it would have been back in the day.
Yeah.
On the Dreamcast.
Yeah, you have a special modem too, though, so that's the only thing I don't have, is I think you have a special modem.
Yeah, I mean, you got the 56K modem built in, so you're able to access the internet without the broadband adapter, but... obviously you need to disconnect your phone line and everything and to sort it out, so...
Yeah,
so that's probably any downsides to using the 56K modem, but if you could get the broadband one, obviously you wouldn't have much of a problem there, but...
I wonder if they can make a conversion, like Ben Heck, the guy who makes things, I wonder if they can make a conversion that allows you to plug it to the Dreamcast to use it with internet. If they did that, I mean, Sega could come back easily. Because I know I pay $80 for a modem for that to be able to play, take my current hardware and hook it up to today's hardware and let it talk. Oh yes, maybe I'll ask if that can be done, and if it can be done, then I'll find out how to do it. But I mean, you know,
I'm sure it is possible some way, but unfortunately I'm not a complete expert in how to make adapters or how to cut things up. I mean, I can try, but I doubt I'll get very far. I'm gonna have to get some knowledge or do a bit of research to understand exactly what I need to do that. But yeah, with today's technology, that's easily possible with the Wii and the DS. I mean, granted, the DS is going to be a bit tougher because of the web security, but if there are people out there who know how to get around that security, then it shouldn't be much of a problem. So in maybe a few months or a year or two, so I'm sure we'll be seeing people who will be offering own service for games that aren't supported by Nintendo anymore.
Right.
But again, it's possible that when the PS3 and Xbox 360 eventually discontinue their online service, then people are going to obviously get around that, because there's an Ethernet port on the back of both consoles, I believe, so you can just get around it pretty easily doing it that way, so... But see, obviously it's a sad day for it'll be a sad day maybe for when the services are cut. But for now, I'm sure they'll everyone make the most of it if still uses the service. Yeah, and the last bit of news before we go on to today's topic: The Walking Dead Season 2, Episode 2. By Telltale has been released this week, I believe.
Oh, it is? Okay.
Yep, so I think it's been released first on PC and PS3, if I remember right. And I think the Xbox 360 and iOS version a bit later in the week, presumably. No official date's been given, but... It's, as far as I know, it's this week is the episode... So he's been released, so we'll get to carry on our adventures with Clementine.
Right.
Yep, so, I mean, that's all to say at the minute. I mean, there's trailer release, so I'm not sure if you've seen that one.
No, I have not. Okay. I want to say, you know, yeah, I'm saving myself for some of it, because I still need to go back and play 300 Days under my save, and then play Episode 2 under my save. So I got a lot of work I need to get done, hopefully tomorrow. Maybe I'll break it down. So, because I enjoyed it.
Okay, well, it's a pretty good trial, I'll say that much. So, you get introduced to a new character, and so there's a couple more characters in there. So, I've got a sort of idea where the story might go, but again, anything can happen. So, I'm not making too many judgment calls at the moment until I've actually played the game. But as soon as it's made available, I'll be downloading it and playing through it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and I know Gaz is going to be waiting until all the episodes come out. I think a bit of news on that when the whole season finally is released. I think by the end of September, the PS Vita version of The Walking Dead is going to be released around September time.
Okay.
So that might give a hint as to when The Walking Dead Season 2 would have all the episodes out. So I think by September, all the episodes should be released. So hopefully now, Telltale on track to releasing it every month or two. for each episode. But again, that's just speculation, so I can't say any more at the moment. So, but hopefully, we shouldn't have to wait throughout the whole year for each episode. Just have to wait a couple of months rather than how long we had to wait since the first episode. Okay, so that's all I can think of on the top of my head about game-related news, so...
Well, you left out one thing, Irrational Games.
Oh yes. That makes one. Irrational Games. Do you want to take this one?
Ken Levine, one of the people there, he says, everything needs to be winding down now, which is basically what I said back in 2012 for all the big companies with all these people, and actually this goes back to when I saw the ending of God of War, and I saw all the people, and I'm like, all those people working on this one game, because back in the day, we had maybe like 50 people working on a Nintendo game, so you're used to that, but you got 300 plus people working on a game. So what he's doing is what I hope other companies, I know it sounds bad, somebody's like, Warren, what? People losing their jobs. Like, but this is how the game game evolves, because companies shut down or they close the doors and these other people, the employees, go and open up these new shops and we get new IPs and new games. That's how it works. I mean, yeah, it's kind of sad, but then at the same time, no, it's not. It's like sad, yeah, they're losing their jobs and stuff. But within 3 years, everybody's going to be working again, and new IPs are going to come. But this thing right here, everyone needs to go ahead and do that, because with Angry Birds, I'm using that as an example, the game is not a AAA title, but it got like A++++++++ sales. Why? We don't know. It's very addictive. But with Irrational Games closing the doors, the main game they made was BioShock. So, we will be seeing more games similar to BioShock, because I will say Ken, he did say that. He's actually going to 5K Games? That's where he's going. And they are looking for spots for, other employees, as they, they're still open. They're going to be open up for a little bit more right after the BioShock DLC is released, because they are releasing that. But after that, they're going to start closing the doors down and, people, sliding off into the next generation of gaming. But that's how I look at it. I look at it as, it's evolution, and, all the other big companies, they can break these big teams down to smaller teams and, handle this wave of casual gaming that's taken over. And that's how I look at that. So,
Yeah, I mean, based on that, there's certain things that the industry might have to change in order to prevent small companies from closing. But,
yeah,
again, whether they do or not, I mean, in case of Capcom... It's still around at the moment, but how long is yet to be decided based on their actions, but...
Yes, based on their actions.
Hopefully it gives other companies more incentive to do something about it. If the price was less for the games, because I've noticed with the new consoles, the price of the games have gone up a bit since...
No. Yeah.
Well, over here especially, because normally a new game would be about £40, or a little bit more, depending on where you got it from. But now there seems to be £50-60 over here, which would be about $80-90, something like that.
Over here our average price is $59.99.
Yeah, so have you noticed that any price changes in Xbox One or PS4 titles?
I haven't even looked at those titles at all, so I can't answer that question. I mean, I can look something up on a website and see, but I never looked at the price of an Xbox One game. I heard the prices were going up, but I never looked, because...
That's something that's happened over here. The price of games have gone up a bit more than normally would do. So I don't know if that's good, because we get... It's a new console, or they're trying to see how much they can get away with selling games.
Yeah, how much they can get away with.
Yeah.
Well, they got Titanfall, which is not out yet. That's gonna be $59.99 when it comes out. But actually, our prices, the prices on Xbox One, they're the same. They're $59.99. Let's see, PS4. I'm looking at their games. Their games are still $59.99 also. So, I'm looking at GameStop? Yeah, GameStop. So, I mean, I heard price is supposed to go up. When they said that, I said no. Automatically, that's a no right there for me. No, I'm not going to go through this again. I'm not. So, you know, this is how I look at it. Since I've been playing games for the longest time, I'm looking at $39 or less for brand new games. That's my price. The price after the game's been out for like, I want to say like, 8 months to a year? The majority of games, the price drops. But now, you know, with this, I say, you know, I'll just wait until 2016. And then that way you guys who have the new consoles, you'll be able to went and pick through all the good stuff and say, yeah, Warren, that game is good. No, that game is not that good. You might like this game, you know, so I don't waste my time on games that aren't really that great. Because that's really sad, because on Nintendo, there was a lot of bad games, but you played them anyway, you know. But with no rentals and stuff like that, it makes it harder for a gamer these days to buy a game when you got services like, what's that one? Yeah, Gamefly. We have Gamefly and Redbox, which is great. But at the same time, you know, those people don't get to talk to other people unless they're your friends. You know, we're in a video store. You get to talk to, like, if I saw you in the video store, I say, oh, hey, Nick, what's going on? Yeah, well, I'm just here to grab a movie. I say, hey, you have a new game out. You ever haven't seen it? Like, what? I've been working all week. And so you don't have those kind of moments anymore. But, unfortunately, the game prices have dropped down to the $59.99 mark already, so I don't know what they were before that, if they were.
Yeah, maybe it might have gone down for me if we looked at it much, but, yeah, I mean, pricing is a bit big thing, so with the convenience of games like Angry Birds, all you have to do is pay, not very much, and then get a game you can play for 5 minutes at a time or hours for a week, however you
$9.99, or even free.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's bad for AAA titles, because you get the same game for free, but you can also pay 59 cents to remove the ads, and they're still making millions of dollars on 99 cents. That's bad when you think about it. If you really think about that, that's really bad, because you're spending $59 on a game you're gonna play maybe like what, two or three times, and you're paying $59. You're not playing a free version, and they do have free versions of games, but they really need to rethink that pricing model. That pricing module is really awful. And I'm just trying to tell, I mean, I'm not going to sit there and haggle with anyone about a price. You either have the price I want, or you don't. Like Street Fighter, yeah, back in the day, $80 was nothing, because guess what? I'm going to play that game all day to death. Now it's like, no, I can sit this one out. I already got the previous version. That'll do me just fine for now. You know, and that's what happened to Capcom with Street Fighter 4. You know, I was a good fan until they broke my... Once they broke AE 2012, I was done. I'm done. Don't call me no more. Don't call me no more. If you want to talk to me, say hi and keep moving. That's how I am. I love Capcom. I love them. But I ain't buying no more of their games for a while. And it's not because of my boycott. I'm just... they have nothing I want. So, at least not anymore.
Yeah, well, hopefully, like we said in previous episodes, Capcom get back on their feet and hopefully realize what they need to survive.
They need to garner to their hardcore players. They need to make their... Honestly, if I'm going to be honest and say what I'm going to say, I already said it back in 2006-7, before Dreamcast 2 was my main goal. Capcom needs to take that $50 million and go make this new console called the Capcom HD, like they did now. Because we don't have any arcades that much anymore. They're still making arcade games, but not like they used to, as you know. I always thought that, you know, it's like, why doesn't Capcom just make their own arcade game? Because the only console that controlled their game arcade perfect was the Dreamcast. So if they had like Darkstar, well, you know, the arcade games that they have, the systems have the PS3, PS4, Xbox 360, Xbox One, the Wii, they all have limitations. Why don't they just release their own console, sell it for $399, don't release not one CD of their game. Release arcade perfects of their games on their console through the internet on their console only. So you can't pirate the game unless you have a console. And you can't pirate it because it's online. Now, when it comes to other consoles like the PS4, PS3, the Wii, Wii U, 3DS, yeah, they'll make watered down versions for them if they want to. And that way, they don't need to go through Microsoft and Sony and Nintendo. Capcom, and they won't have the limitations of their consoles. They'll be making, hey, if you want an arcade perfect game, if you're a fan, buy our console. And that's how I look at that for Capcom, if they did that. I mean, this first-person shooter thing, I don't care for it. When they did a Resident Evil, I left Resident Evil. That wasn't Resident Evil anymore. Resident Evil is about survival horror, you know? And since they can't do arcade-perfect games anymore, like the real Hydro Thunder and the real... I'm sorry, did I say Hydro Thunder? That's Sega. You know, arcade-perfect ports of their fighting games with no lag in them. You know, that's, you know, you hear people complain about that all the time. I'm like saying, why don't you just make your own console? Get pre-orders. If the pre-orders come out, make the console. If not, don't make the console and keep going like they're doing now until time runs out. But that's what I had to say about Capcom. Capcom HD, make me a console, please. Go. And they can benefit from this because they can make exclusive deals with Mad Catz and all these horror stick makers easily. And not rob their gamers. Give away some free stuff. Have contests that Microsoft can't do and won't be able to do. So, you know, get Diego to get online one day and have where they have a roster where you get online and, you know, you pay, like, on your card, you get a special Capcom card. And you know the arcades, used to, that one car driving game that had a card and you can put money on it for your races and stuff and also save all your cars and stuff? They need to bring that to the home, you know, on their console. But that's just me dreaming out loud. So I just leave it at that.
Yeah, so, but like I said, Warren, just need to think, I mean, there's money issues, so whether they'd be able to finance such a thing, I mean, it's yet to be seen, but...
Oh, they could.
They could do, if they put all the resources together, they could come up with something, but then it depends if they're willing to take that risk.
Hey, guys, we heard that you guys want us to make arcade-perfect ports. What we have come up with is the Capcom HD. We need to raise about $4 million. And once we reach it, those of you who donate $399, you will be getting a beta copy of this console that will be more powerful than the standard version. Done. There you go. That right there will only cost about, what, $500 a post? So, that's all you have to do. That's all you have to do. Take a vote. If people don't believe in it, then don't do it. That's all.
Yeah, so, we'll see about that, so just... Capcom, if you're listening, getting good advice here, so, but that's if you are listening, but if you're not, then, well, you miss out on some free advice.
We have a new challenger! Okay, go ahead.
Okay, well, best get a move on, so for today's topic is about Nintendo GameCube, means...
GameCube.
Well, as far as I know, it's not... constantly discussed much on the podcast previously. I mean, without looking through all the old episodes to find out, but I don't. As far as I remember, it's not a console that's been talked. We've talked about much. Or gave much praise for, but I thought because technically it's not an underdog console, but it was. When the Xbox and original Xbox and the PS2, GameCube was overshadowed. So after Nintendo 64, Nintendo didn't do as well as it did before. But I'll say the GameCube was a failure, and by all means, it's doing a lot of things, and Nintendo do now, sort of.
Right.
And looking on the official Nintendo website for the UK, did quite a few impressive things for its time. Or made the important steps it needed to keep up with the competition at the time.
Yes. You know, I love the GameCube, especially when you first power it up. And you get to hear that.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, I didn't know what the GameCube was when I bought it. I got my GameCube, I think, I want to say in 2001 or so. I just happened to see it, and I was like, I didn't know they released a new console, because I was working so much. But, you know, they had quite a few good games, and actually, to me, that's one of the best portable consoles to me ever. A game where you just unplug it, plug it from the wall, plug it from your TV, grab your controllers, and you're out the door, just like that. Poof. I'm like, wow, that is so awesome. But getting to the games... Of course, it had a handful of really good games. Of course, Resident Evil 4 is probably one of the best games ever of the Resident Evil series to me on the consoles. Grant, I do like Resident Evil 5. What else was there? Alien Hominid, which is a game people hardly ever talk about. That was a great game. Very hard. Very good game, though. And it's also on Xbox Live. I don't think it's on PSN. And it's free on Newgrounds.com, but that's also the hardest version. But the GameCube was a great Nintendo machine. I will say the controller, like when you first got an N64, you kind of had to get used to the controller, the layout, the buttons, and the way they were set. Because those buttons are really, compared to the previous consoles, that button layout was really odd when you look at it. But it worked.
Yeah, what was the strange controller for its time? Not as strange as Nintendo 64 controller. Yeah, yeah. I'm sure Gazball probably say all day doesn't like still. But.
Yeah. He doesn't like that N64 controller. I don't like it to a point, but they're like, how do you hold it? You know, do you hold it like this? Or hold it like this? Or do it like claws? You know. But it's a great little console. It's a powerhouse. Like you said, when we did the contest, I did not know that thing can hold was at 1.2 gigabytes.
What 1.5 gigabytes?
Yeah, I'm like, wow. That's for that. That's like on that little tiny little disc, all that power. Yep. You know what I mean? Like, you know, Resident Evil 4. My goodness, you know that game looks almost as good, if not better, than an Xbox One game, an Xbox 360 game. You know, but it's a great little console. You know, you have the memory cards, which was nice. You know, you pump them in and out and stuff, but you know, they get filled up really quick if you have a lot of games. It was the first console, I thought PlayStation was the first console to do that, the rumble thing, where you put the controller down and it rumbles. But actually, it was a GameCube that did. But the console is great, you know, so it's not overlooked, but some people don't know about it. They do get excited when they finally get to play games on it, because it's great. It's a great little console.
Yeah, sure is. Yeah, I mean, there's plenty that you can probably talk about. I mean, obviously, the discs for the time were the smallest discs. I think it holds a record for having the smallest discs on the market for home console, but I think the PSP might have beaten it in terms of disc size. And
yeah, you probably did, but keep in mind it's a disc versus a disc cart, so.
Yeah, I mean, that's something to consider. I mean, probably the only drawback, one of the drawbacks of the GameCube, it didn't have a DVD feature or CD player feature, which isn't a big issue, but then when the PS2 and the original Xbox had that capability, then that was more a deal for consumers who wanted something to play games and also watch movies on.
Yeah, there was a GameCube, the Panasonic Cube, which a lot of people don't know about still today. I didn't know about it either until my friend Muzz showed me his. It's basically a metallic silver GameCube with a DVD player built inside.
Yeah, I believe that was exclusive to Japan. I've seen one once, but wasn't able to get unfortunately.
Yeah, you can buy them now. You can import them. So, you know, it's a Panasonic Cube. It's not called a GameCube, but it's basically it's a media center, basically. And it's great. It's a great little device, and I'm like, wow, you know. So the standard GameCube did not have a DVD player, but this one did.
Yeah, so it's a great option for importers because it's not region locked, and overall, it could be proven cheaper. So if you want your games from America, Europe, Japan, or wherever in the world, then you could do that, you know. So play DVDs and CDs, so again, that would have been the better version to have. I mean, obviously, it's quite rare and popular for collectors. What obviously want one because that convenience of being able to put any game disc in or any DVD movie in.
Right.
And also, it's an exclusive control. I think just had about Panasonic on the game where it would say GameCube.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so it's a system I would like in my collection, but the price is quite high, so it's in hundreds of pounds, $100 region, so it would be quite pricey to actually get one. I mean, if I can ever get a chance to get one for a good price, I mean, I'll look at getting one, but it did offer alternative for those who did want DVD CD compatibility with the GameCube, and also importing games as well.
Right.
Yeah. So, as I said, it's Panic Store is quite sought after by GameCube collectors. And,
yeah.
Mhm. And this has got a good design. It also lights up as well. More than the GameCube. So, and I think as far as I know, it still had the same sort of ports on the bottom, which allowed. I think it allowed the Game Boy Player, Game Boy Advance Player,
I'm not sure, because I never did that before.
I'm not 100% certain, but it did. But getting back to what it's capable of, it's had a network capability, so if you've got the add-on, you can play games online.
Yeah, I never did that. I always wanted to find out what games they had, but never did.
Yeah, I'm not sure how easy they are to come by and if they work. I'm sure there's a community out there somewhere that does play the few games that are have online features, but again, that'd be a small minority, I would have thought.
Yeah.
It would be cool to have one, though, if you ever came across one.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I also believe the GameCube was capable of 3D, because you know how 3D is a big thing on the... on the 3DS now, and also in the cinemas with the latest films. GameCube was capable of doing 3D, because I think the original Luigi's Mansion was meant to be a game that could be played in 3D. So if you had a 3D TV or some 3D glasses to play 3D games on the GameCube, then you could do that. But I think it was expensive that they decided not to use that feature in the GameCube.
Yeah.
I think it is still capable. So if there's anyone who does homebrew games could probably actually do that, I believe. But I think the only other thing really to mention is the connectivity with the Game Boy Advance.
Yeah. The side up where you can play games. I forget what game it was. It was like a Pokemon game you can play with friends on the game. It was the Game Boy Advance on the GameCube. Right? I can't remember.
Yeah, I mean, there's loads of different games that use that feature. I'm sure maybe like Pokemon Colosseum, you can maybe like link up the link cable between the GameCube and the Game Boy Advance. You can link up to four, so I'm sure there's some sort of feature there, but I haven't got Pokemon Colosseum, so I can't say off the top of my head, but there are quite a few games that did utilise the Game Boy Advance, or Game Boy Advance to get a game, so you could either link them up or do trades with, or do something exclusive with that game, so you've had exclusive, I'm trying to think of an example, let's have a look. Four Swords Adventure, that can link. It's got a Game Boy Advance compatibility, so I think. Because you can have one player playing the Game Boy itself, or you can have two to four players simultaneously, or at the same time playing with their Game Boy Advances if they have a link cable. So you can have four players playing with on the Game Boy Advance linked up to the GameCube. So it did offer quite a bit for its day, which is what makes you wonder why Nintendo don't do that with the 3DS and the Wii U as like they did with the GameCube and the Game Boy Advance, but.
Yeah, they should have did that. That would have brought more life to it, but I don't know. People aren't thinking. I would love to have a family of gadgets where I have a home version, the port version I have with me mobile, and where I can actually get online and stuff, you know? I would love to be able to, like, if me and you were, like, like we are now. Let's use that example. Say right now, instead of using what we're using now to talk, you have a 3DS and I have a Wii U, and you want to call me while you're out on a trip somewhere. You have Wi-Fi, you're at the library, and you're at the library, you just call me. You can use your cell phone, but you can get online and see that, hey, Warren's playing Flower. And I'm just using that as an example. Let's say I'm playing Super Mario Bros. Wii U. And you see it. And a little window pops up, and you just start talking. And you can see me playing and stuff. Well, not see me playing, but you see a picture of me with the pad in my hand, you know, playing the game. And you're like, yo, Warren, what's going on? And you can talk to me while I'm playing, you know? And it'd be nice if they made a version where you could join me and play while you're there. So, yeah, I got 20 minutes to burn, Warren. Let's get some free achievements real quick. You know, whatever. But these companies aren't thinking like that anymore, you know. They just want to get the, you know, they just want to get the game out there, and that's it.
Yeah, I would have thought with the convenience of wireless technology that they'd be able to do something. I mean, Nintendo give you excuse that there's two complexes. I think they're going to do something with the new Super Smash Brothers game on the Wii U and the 3DS, but apparently what they wanted to do is too complex to do, apparently, but...
No, it's not complex. That's an excuse. Excuse. I want a Mario game where if I'm at your house, or better yet, let's say like how we just said it. You're playing Mario, and you're like, Warren, you want, we can play a game of, I call it God versus Humans. And basically it'd be Bowser versus Mario, where you're playing on your Wii U, and I'm on my 3DS, or I have a tablet, or I just say 3DS because you're at the library now, and you join the game that I join your game. I have the 3DS, you're playing on your Wii U, and you're going through the level like you normally would. But while you're playing it, I'm drawing all the monsters on my screen and then saying, send. So I can send a whole army of Koopas at you, or Hammer Brothers, or Bombs, or whatever. And I just draw them on the screen, you know. Or I can just drag and drop them, however I want to do it, you know, whatever. You know, have both options. That's what I thought they would bring something like that out a long time ago, but it never happened, you know. But with the GameCube, you know, they had a lot of innovation in it. They did have a 3D built inside of it. I did not know that, but that's pretty neat. I'm trying to say, there's something very, besides the Game Boy Advance being able to connect to it, there's something else special about it, the internet, and I forget what it was.
Network adapter.
Yeah, it was something else.
But whether it was able to connect to the internet, I'm not sure. I'm just reading on the website. It's actually used for split-screen multiplayer as well, so I believe.
Uh-huh.
Wait, no, not split-screen, sorry. You can link multiple consoles up together, so you can have play games of Mario Kart Double Dash.
Uh-huh.
Onto the website, then just look at the back of the box, get some... Yeah, it's got broadband capabilities, onto the back of the box.
I just learned there's a way to actually initiate alternate startup sound for the GameCube. I did not know they had alternate sounds for that.
Yeah, there's got quite a few little Easter eggs in the GameCube menu. I think there's a video online. If you look up the Easter Egg Hunter, Nintendo GameCube, then there's a good video on some of the hidden features on the GameCube, or a few hidden Easter eggs which you can discover.
Uh-huh. Oh, wow. I'm just looking through some stuff, and I didn't know they had cheats for SS... Oh, that's SSX 3. I thought it was on SSX on GameCube. Oh. I say, you don't like all these people? Oh, I didn't know they had Brody in there. Yeah, Brody and Eddie. I like Simon. Well, that's on something else. But hold on for 1 second.
Okay.
Hey, I'm doing the podcast right now, and I'm gonna call you back in like about 45 minutes. Okay. All right, bye. Okay, hurry up, real quick.
Okay. So.
No, I did not. We'll talk later. No, I didn't. Okay, bye. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Alright, sorry. The only other thing to mention is some of the add-ons and accessories. I mean, there's the bongos, which you can play with Donkey Konga, or certain games allowed you to...
Yeah, the accessories, I'm trying to get, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And also the Game Boy Advance Player, which is on the console, so you can play Game Boy, Game Boy Color, and Game Boy Advance games on the same system, so... Which sort of been done on with the Super Game Boy for the Super Nintendo, but that obviously that limits you to get to original Game Boy games, whereas this allows you to play all Game Boy games from...
Actually, no, it doesn't. It allows you to play the majority of them. There's something called Game Boy Black. It won't play those. I don't know what that means. But yeah, if you look it up, have a Super Game Boy. And I haven't had really that many problems with it. But I will say, like, some of my games don't work. Because I try to get it to work on my Super Boy, and they don't work. And I'm like, oh. So, but yeah, some games don't work on Super Game Boy. Yeah. Super Game Boy Color, I'm sorry. Super Game Boy Color, I'm sorry. Yeah, you can look it up. I mean, I had that pulled up, like, when I got it, actually. Cause I just want to make sure it can play everything. But it does not play everything. But it plays the majority of everything, though.
Yeah, so it's probably, is it with the Game Boy and Game Boy Color games, or is it Game Boy Advance games as well? It has problems with...
Oh, no. It's only Game Boy games. And here, I'll look up Super Game Boy games that can play. Super Game Boy Color games it can play. They give you a list. Okay, and somebody asked the question, does it play Game Boy Advance Color games? And yes, it does. They say yes, it does. I've never tried this. If I knew that, I would have... Someone said yes, and I don't know. I don't think that's true. And somebody said, excuse me? But, I'm just looking. I'm just trying to see if I can find it. Because I know I had it. I just saved the thing, and it's about, let's see, like Tetris DX. If it's played on Super Game Boy 2 device, I see, I don't know what Game Boy 2 is, a different border will appear. So, like some games have borders on them. Like the Game & Watch Gallery game series, they will show Super NES controller under mode select instead of the Game Boy system. So, you know, it depends on what you put in there, and some games don't play because they will not show the black screen. But I don't have that. I can't find that article. It was very informative. I should have kept it, but I didn't save it.
Okay, well, I'll have to have a look, because I've got some variety of Game Boy games, which I probably will play on my GameCube at some point, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, but even so, with selected games that it doesn't work on, it does offer that capability of playing on most libraries on the GameCube. So it's a great system in terms of being able to play GameCube games, some or most of the original Game Boy Colors and all the Game Boy Advance games.
Uh-huh.
So you got four systems in one, practically.
Exactly.
If you look at it that way.
Yeah, exactly, you do. And that's what Nintendo is good about. And that's the only reason why the DSi and the 3DS are existing. They have backwards compatibility. If they didn't have backwards compatibility, those things would be in the garbage so fast. I know mine would be. You know, but I have games I can play that I like that I can go back and buy now almost on, you know, on the cheap. You know, real cheap. $4 or $5. You know?
Yeah, so there's something on there. Nintendo haven't done so much because I know the Wii U's backwards compatible with the Wii, which is a good thing for those people who have still got a Wii and invested a lot of time and money into the Wii, so they don't have to get rid of all the games immediately.
Yeah, exactly.
And all the Wii remotes as well, which is again a good thing because spent lots of money on that, and then there's games that still use the Wii remotes on for the Wii U. So.
Yep, exactly.
So that was a smart decision by Nintendo, but they still need to do more. I think that's something they don't realise. They need to do more because with the competition now with the Xbox One and PS4, need to do, and the Wii U as well, need to do more to actually show consumers this is the system to have because it has all these features which you won't find on the PS4 or Xbox One or Ouya.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, so if they can adopt some of the principles, some of the features they did on the GameCube and put them onto the Wii U and the 3DS, and I'm sure they'll go a long way.
Oh yeah, they will. They need to hurry up.
Whether they do or not, that's something yet to be seen, but hopefully that they do get around to using some of it. But I think, because I think the GameCube did do some groundbreaking stuff, which Nintendo should have stuck with it, with the Wii and the Wii U, especially the Wii U now, because they need to do something to make it worth having the 3DS and the Wii U. Because just having exclusive games isn't enough. You need to have other features as well to make it more worthwhile.
Yeah, exactly.
But just to sum up, the GameCube's a great system, still is, and highly underrated, in my opinion. Because some people skip it over and say the PS2's the greatest sixth generation console, which we don't disagree with those people who do say that, but I think the GameCube does deserve a bit more light, and that's my 2 cents on that. So, anything else you want to mention, Warren?
No. I mean, I just like enjoy certain games on there on the GameCube, which my favorites will be SSX Tricky, Super Mario Sunshine, Resident Evil 4, and Resident Evil itself, actually. So, I enjoy those games a lot. Those are my collection, actually.
Yeah, I mean, there's plenty of great first-party and third-party titles for the GameCube. That's the only thing to mention, and got quite a good collection of GameCube games. Got over 10% of the collection now.
Oh, wow.
10%, over 10% of the games. I can't remember the exact figure because I haven't been on it for a while, but yes, there's some great games on it, great exclusives, and a few hidden gems, so it's just definitely something to be aware of. Obviously, it's also got remakes of old games. So it's got Resident Evil. It's got Metal Gear Solid, the original one.
Yep.
The Twin Snakes. So it's got great party games, multiplayer games.
Yeah, I enjoy Tiger Tasmanian Tiger also. That's one of my good ones too.
Yeah, I think I think that game's on consoles.
Yeah, it is on PlayStation 2, I think, and I think there was one on PlayStation 3, but I could be mistaken. I saw it on PlayStation, oh, they have it on PlayStation? Like, wow, really? You know, but it's a good little, it's a kiddie game, but it's really fun. You know, it's like Mario Sunshine, kind of, or Super Mario 64, but better. And it's kind of funny. It has like a little bit of humor.
Yes.
And the music is nice.
Yeah, so if Nintendo can adopt some of the principles from the GameCube, I'm sure the Wii U would do well in the market, or at least do better than it's doing at the moment. But
yeah, they need to open up the freaking virtual consoles. What they need to do, but no, they're not doing that. I mean, they got the majority of the Street Fighters, but I haven't seen not one commercial for Street Fighter on Wii U. Not one. I mean, don't get me wrong, I already own all the Street Fighters that I need, but there's other people who never even heard of Street Fighter. This is where the meat of Street Fighter is at, before the online came and kind of almost killed it, you know? People can come and play the game and have fun playing it, you know, and they need to, you know, show some games like Master Blaster, or is it Blaster Master, I'm sorry, Blaster Master. I used to watch kid video. You know, show some old school games and put the Nintendo, Super Nintendo, GameCube and Game Boy libraries on virtual console for both the 3DS and the Wii U, and market that. I know it sounds kind of bad for us because we're experienced gamers, but they will reach more people who've never heard of these games to buy these games that we go like, I already played that, I'm not playing it again. You know, so that's how I look at that. That's what they need to do.
Yeah, so to end the GameCube, great system, and hopefully Nintendo adopts some of what the GameCube did back in the day.
Yeah, they do something, so we'll see. Come summer, Zelda U or nothing. I'm out.
Well, I'm sure Sue Seymour, I don't think we called Zelda U, because we never called any Zelda games after the console, but...
Yeah, I thought the Wii U, since you had said the Wii U.
Yeah.
Because remember, they released Twilight Princess on both GameCube and the Wii, so...
So, shall we move on to what we've been watching recently?
Yes, we can.
Okay, I don't think I've been watching anything, to be honest.
What I've been watching, actually I need to switch over to Netflix so I can give you the right title, because I have a new show. I watched all the Avengers, the Earth Mightiest Warriors, or World Mightiest Heroes. I watched all that, so I moved on, and I have the itch for magic powers and stuff, you know. So I moved over, and I'm watching now, what is this called? The Justice League Unlimited. So I'm watching that. I have not went back to Supernatural just yet, which I might do that after this podcast. So, but I'm watching that. I watched The Croods a few weeks ago, because they're on Netflix also, which was pretty good. But I watched, what was that, Thor? What is that called? Thor, The Dark World, and that's what my post on Facebook that I posted earlier. They need to make the movie shorter. That was a good movie, but it was so long. I'm like, oh my gosh, really? 2 hours for this movie? Really? Don't get me wrong, it's a good movie. It's a good movie, but it was just long. And I don't like long movies that much. But that's really all I'm watching. You know, I'm not really watching Futurama. I mean, I played it, but it's not something I want to say, oh, I'm watching Futurama. I'm not really watching it. So, and that's it for me.
Yeah, I haven't seen it since the last episode where there was a parody on a nature program.
Uh-huh.
You know the one I'm talking about?
Yeah, I've seen so many different clips of it.
Yeah, I think that was the last one I saw, because I saw that on Netflix when I had the US version of Netflix, but since I wasn't able to access it, I haven't seen more episodes. Before I did the hour specials, I was a fan of Futurama, and after that wasn't so much. Still enjoyed it, but it wasn't like groundbreaking, amazing, or just like really enjoyed it, because I do. But yeah, that was a while ago. But I'm trying to think. I don't know if there is something I did watch, but honestly, yeah. I haven't really been doing much. I mean, playing a few games, but. Since I've been back at work, I haven't been doing as much, but...
Right.
But if I go on to... if I think of any films or TVs I've been... programs I've been watching, I'll let you know, but... what I have been playing, the GTA 5 version, PS3 version.
Okay.
So I've been playing that, so I've got it on the 360 and the PS3, so now I can play both... the version, so any friends on either systems, I can play a match against them.
Okay.
So, and that's pretty cool. So I've been working through the game again, because it's a great game, so it's worth having on both systems, and I've got it for a fair price on the PS3, so been playing a bit of that. Also been playing Star Wars Angry Birds 2.
Okay.
And completed all levels on 3 stars.
Oh, okay, congratulations for that.
Thank you. It's about three different parts to it. So Escape from Naboo, Tatooine, and Battle of Naboo.
Okay.
So there's the three different stages available, but for both. The pork side and the bird side.
Yeah, okay.
Which it's a good parody on Star Wars, and I'm not sure how they got the rights to it still, because I think it's partly by LucasArts, though obviously LucasArts doesn't exist anymore. But I think because Disney owned the rights to Star Wars now. I'm not sure what's happening with people who own Angry Birds got a deal with them.
But, oh my!
So whether we'll see stages from episode 2 released, I'm not sure. But Yes, it's still a fun game. It was challenging to get some of the three-star ratings, even after watching videos on YouTube how to get some of them, but...
Uh-huh.
So, but the only thing you have to really gripe about the game is the in-app purchases, because there's a little feature where you can buy characters which you can use in certain levels, so if you're struggling on a particular level, you can either buy a certain number of uses for a particular character, or you can spend so much and you can get a character permanently to use in certain situations when there's a level you can't quite beat or can't get a 3-star rating on.
Right.
Yeah, but it is really, really expensive to get the points you need to unlock those characters, so... That's only got to be in that purchase a bit overpriced, I think. The characters you're going to get eventually anyways, but... Yeah, but I've been playing that. Also did a bit more Minecraft, so I've created like a little zoo earlier.
Okay.
So extended it where I've kept my built the farm in the sky.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've still got to get around to editing that video, but I've started to, but I'm just... It's only like a little intro and outro, and I'm going to say either going to release the whole thing in one go or release it in parts, but...
Oh, okay, yeah, I was looking for it, like saying, I haven't loaded it yet, so I don't know if you have enough space or what, but okay.
Yeah, we've got enough space, yeah, and we should be able to load it. I just need to do it on the day when either not working or I get home early enough to upload it. But, we'll build a little zoo, so hopefully next time you're online, one will check it out.
Oh, yeah. I
want to
check it out. I
want
to see what it looks like.
Yes, but the problem is I can't keep the quote-unquote animals keeping the zoo. I think they keep disappearing for some reason. Like a spawning issue, but...
No.
It can be annoying if I'm trying to build a zoo where people can visit and then there's no... no.
Welcome to Jurassic Park. Well, they're supposed to be standing there right there. They were there the other time, but then... Yeah.
Yeah. So, bit of that. And also, a few of the Street Pass games. I've been playing those most days, and that's really about it. Can't think of anything else. But yeah, that's all I've been playing.
Okay. Well, what I've been playing, of course, is a little bit of Street Fighter. Not much lately. Earlier the month, last month. So actually today, my friends. And the phone you heard ringing, that was my other friend calling, hey, you downloaded Golden Axe? Like, no. You know, did you download something? Like, no. Because we played Castle Crashers today for the first time. I already have that on Xbox 360. Played the death out of it, got a lot of achievements, even got the whiff, whatever it's called, that one where you tap the button really fast. Got that achievement. And then on 3DS, I was playing Lock and Chase. I beat that again. I'm like, wow, I beat it. I beat both Tetris and that in record times. So now I'm gonna try to beat up on some Gorgo's Quest, which is the one game I kept requesting for Nintendo to release, and that's one of the first Game Boy games and the only Game Boy game they had released originally. So that's why I got quiet about it. But I have my three main games that kept me happy in 1990. Like, yeah, all three of them. Lock and Chase was 1990. Gorgo's Quest was 1990. Well, actually, Tetris was in 1989. But yeah, so. I've been playing those. My friend introduced me, Philip, sorry Phil, to a game called Castle Crush. And basically it's before Angry Birds. It's actually a game you need to check out. I'm going to give you a link to it. Once you start playing it though, you'll get addicted. And it is on iPad. I think it's on iPhone also. It's basically like Angry Birds, but you're using catapults, like real catapults to launch bricks and mortar and stones and bombs at people. And when you play, you're like, oh, this is just like Angry Birds. But this game came out way before Angry Birds, and it's got dynamics, and it's pretty fun. And it's very addictive. When you start playing it, you don't want to stop because, like, it's a little more challenging than Angry Birds. It's not as cute and pretty, but it's nice, and I think you will enjoy it. It's only 99 cents also, so, you know, I just said, I played the desktop version, and it's free online, so you can just play the free one if you want to, but I want to take it with me, so. And this version on the iPad has more levels, so, you know. But it's called Castle Crush, and I'll link it to you. And that's what I was playing, which was kind of out of the blue. And besides Kingdom Rush, I'm not playing anything else. I'm probably going to pick up Star Wars, The Force Unleashed Part 2, even though I haven't beaten Part 1. And I'm going to be streaming that one. So that's all I'm playing right now.
Oh, good selection there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think things to finish off the whole of the week. I can't remember what I've actually watched, so I have to try and watch something this week to make it. But the highlight for me, well, it's a funny moment actually, and well, it's probably not funny for what happened afterwards. But I was on the bus one time, and I was just about to get off the bus stop because it was the last stop, and got off, and bus driver's just like sitting there waiting for everyone to go off, and there's one person sitting right behind him, behind where the driver was. He was busy on his phone doing something, texting something. This was the last one, and the bus said on the thing, not in service. And as soon as I got off, looked around, the bus driver started was moving away, and the guy was still on the bus on his phone. So,
okay.
As far as I know, the bus driver didn't notice he was on there because he didn't like get out to see all the passengers that got off. He just went away. So I think the bus driver doesn't know there's someone on board, or the passengers didn't know it's the last stop.
Yeah.
And he's stuck, so he's probably going back to where they stalled the buses.
Uh-huh.
just what was a funny moment, just like what was going to happen, who was going to be more angry, the driver or the passenger?
Yeah.
I was just wondering what was going to happen after all that happened, but...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's a lot of the hot for me, just whatever happened, the problem got sorted, but...
Right.
Yeah, so what about you, Juan?
My highlight of the week, I'm going to say my highlight of the week. My highlight of the week is I finally went and bought a Wingnut. Actually, I'm not sure if you know what a steady cam is. It's like a thing you put your camera on and you can like walk around with it and don't have all those shakes and jiggles. Well, I had purchased one, and the person that made it, because it was selling on eBay, even though I could have went and made my own for like $5, but I didn't, like you don't have enough time for that, so... You know, hey, I have money. You made one. I'll buy yours. So I bought it from them for like $20, but they didn't give me all the pieces that I needed for it. So I kept writing them. And after almost 2 weeks, you know, they didn't return none of my stuff. You know, and I wasn't returning to them or anything because it wasn't broken and it did work, but they forgot to, you know, put a spring in there. I looked on the internet and saw how a guy made his, but then he came back with a better way to fix it. But I didn't want to spend that much money on a little thing like that. Then I couldn't find a video on my iPad, so I found another video, and the guy goes, oh, when you tighten this up, you want to make sure you use this wing nut. And I was like, wing nut? What wing nut? And it fixed my problem for far more cheaper, much faster, and it works, and I love it, so I'm good. And that's my highlight. I was so happy. You know, I went to Home Depot, got this wing nut. It was only like $1.15 for three of them. I was going to cost me $3.95 for just one. And, you know, I went in there, took my bolt with me and everything, and it screwed it in. It worked just fine, and it works now, and I just need to do some footage and start testing. So, you know, that's why I don't fall on my face while I'm running, you know. So, but that's my highlight, a wing nut, and not Teen Mutant Ninja Turtles.
I like it.
Yeah, so, yay.
Okay, so, first good point to end the video, so... Oh, no, not the video, sorry, what I'm talking about. And the podcasts. So, hopefully next week, guests should be back with us, ready to talk some more topics as usual, and hopefully we'll have a bit more to talk about. But we had a fair bit to talk about this episode, so hope everyone out there enjoyed this episode. And, Spawn, thank you as always for being on.
And thank you for inviting me, and fun as usual, as always.
And for everyone else, thank you very much for listening. Until next time, we will see you later. Take care and good night.
Name your prize. Goodbye, everyone. Thank you for joining.
Goodbye.